Yeah. Thank goodness for your Aztec, Slee. Otherwise, it would be the least interesting thing that you could possibly put together. How you feeling? You look good. You look bright-eyed.
And yeah.
You're in the afterglow of an Austin Reeves 35-point performance last night.
Yeah, this is our only day in this week. We have Travis and I in a tournament. We're traveling across the country. Where do we go first? Is it Nashville?
I thought it was Monaco. I think we're
going
to go to Monaco to play a little international pickleball event. Yeah, we've been scouted by some of the top leagues.
Fountain Valley had a lot of scouts out there.
Well,
next thing you know, they're buying us tickets all across the world to go play pickleball.
That was awesome.
That was awesome.
Super fun.
Yeah, it was.
Okay, so let's kind of get right
super
into it.
Super fun season.
Super fun tournament,
yeah.
Right? And it kind of was similar to the Dodgers in one regard, is that we were one and done. Dodgers had one round and we're out.
Sure.
We had one round and we're out. So here's the deal. The inaugural ESPN Pickleball Madness tournament on Saturday out in Fountain Valley was a ton of fun. It really was. Thank you to everybody that came out. It was an unbelievable turnout. Thank you to everybody that participated and played in it. Some teams that were very, very good. Some beginning teams as well in there.
Yeah.
It was a nice little range of things. But you and I literally went on the court together for the first time ever against the El Diablos.
Mm-hmm.
We got out to a nice lead in the opening game.
Dang it.
What did we have, like a 9-3 or 9-4 lead, something like that?
Were we up by that much?
It was at least, it could have been 9-4 or 9-5. We had a lead that was at least 4 points.
Whether that was the score or not, I was prepared to walk in today saying we were up 6-5. And I wasn't going to give any more cushion than that.
No. We had a much bigger lead than
4 or 5 points.
We had a 4 or 5 point lead at one point. And then the El Diablos beat us 11-10 in the opening game. So we were there.
Mm-hmm.
We were there. These guys play. They play together. They play relatively frequently. You and I, first time together.
They're cheaters, by the way.
The problem was I started to run out of gas very, very quickly towards the end of the first game. By the time that the second game had rolled around, I was running on fumes. I was incredibly tired, and we did not perform nearly as well in the second game. We lost, I believe, 11-6, the final score was.
Yeah.
So 22-16 was the aggregate.
You know what you reminded me of? You remind me of if you go for a jog, and the first mile, you're like, you can't breathe. Your heart is just pumping. But then
first 100 yards.
Let's play the premise on this one. And then by the time you get to the second mile, you're like, actually, I'm feeling better than I was the first mile. And then the third mile, you're like, my legs, I can't even feel them. I'm just going. I felt like as we went on through the day, that was you. That they got us at the right place at the right time. Damn it, if that was a warm-up game, I think we would have still been out there running people through the courts of Fountain Valley.
We lost to a team that was better than us. I think we were talking this morning. If we played the El Diablos 10 times, I think they beat us 7 or 8 of those 10 times. We're going to have to kind of pull an upset to get through there.
Mm-hmm.
Not impossible, but I think that's probably about where it would land. Where it got interesting and where it got super fun, you started to have a lot of Michelob Ultras, which was good. I like to see. Michelob Ultra Slee is a very fun version of Slee.
I didn't know Michelob Ultra and pickleball go so well together. I did not know that they
like
go so well.
Peanut butter and jelly, steak and eggs, right? It was a good combination, Slee and Michelob Ultra and pickleball. And then we played against Jorge and Berg.
Yeah.
One. Played against Kaplan and Sedano. One.
Yeah. No.
And Matt Burke. We played a handful of other matches. And look, Slee, I'm going to say it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that there's any question of the 7-10 teams.
Yeah.
We were the best one.
Let me go a little step further. They can combine any two that they want at the station. Does Ron count? Counts. Any two, and I think we're holding our own against anybody. I think we got a little bit of a bad draw. I'm already making an excuse here.
Okay, real quick, nobody's listening, right?
Yeah.
The El Diablos went in the second round and got demolished.
Bro, there were some ballers there.
Really good players.
There were times I caught myself.
Did you see those two women that had the match? They were amazing.
There were times I caught myself, and I'm just watching other matches. You know, because we got caught up in the main stage, and we're watching, and maybe it's just one of our... DeMarco and Kirk is playing whoever. We got caught, like, watching our own people. And then I'd look over, I'm like, what the hell is going on over at that court? There was real pickleball being played.
Yes.
Absolute ballers on a lot of those other courts.
Yes.
And even though we lost and said that we think we could have hung with those guys, they got demolished in their next match.
Yeah, we were not going to make a run through the tournament, but the run through 7-10, like if there were an exclusive 7-10 bracket, which I would advocate for moving forward, when we do the second annual Pickleball Madness, we should have a 7-10 bracket.
Mm-hmm.
I think we will be the top seed, and rightfully so. Because the first game, again, we had never played before, right? So we were kind of figuring out each other. You're better at it than I am. But you get everything on that back line. I was reasonably effective at the net once I caught my breath. I did not. I was
can't
not
get anything past you.
But we had a good little rhythm going.
Yeah.
We both serve reasonably well. You're pretty spry on that back line. You were able to hit a lot of really good shots. I'm pretty good at the net. I think that we had a pretty good thing going there. Had we just gotten into a bracket with more of a skill level similar to ours, I think we'd have a pretty good run.
Okay, so I asked this question, and I don't know. Berg actually asked this question a week ago. He said, hey, when the pickleball tournament's over, are you done? Is it retiring? You're putting the paddle up?
And I said,
I think I'm going to keep playing. Now, I don't know how often I'll play. How do you feel after playing in the tournament?
Can't wait for the next tournament. Can't wait for the next. Let's announce the date, and about 2 weeks before the date,
you'll start getting out there again.
I will find the paddle.
Yeah.
And then I will start thinking about it, and then I will play. Our opening match will be the next time we play. No, here's what I didn't know, because preparing for it, the handful of times I played singles with my buddy Brad, right? He's much better at it than I am, covers a lot more court than I do. Doubles is much more fun.
I agree.
It's an incredibly better game with four people on the court as opposed to two. It moves quicker. The points are scored more quickly. Just everything about it is more fun.
You don't have to cover 1,000 feet. You know, you just got kind of your little section that you got to cover. Okay, out of everyone that was playing on Saturday, who impressed you and who were you like, oh, I thought they were going to be a lot better?
Brian Mashonsky impressed me. Mace's brother was really good. Quick. Like, he's a big guy, right? He's a big guy, but pretty light on his feet, pretty quick, pretty skillful. He really impressed me. The rest of the 7-10 crew
kind of went
kind of what I expected to see. The people that I thought, the only one that was a bit of a surprise, sorry, one of my buddies, love him like a brother, right? We've worked together for seven seasons. Kirk surprised me.
I thought Kirk, it's unfair because for Kirk, you just say you're playing any sport and you're just going to assume, I'm like, yeah, no, he's an all-star. So right out the gate, I was putting Kirk on a
high level.
Yeah.
I thought Kirk was like the lead guy because I'd seen Kirk play in the NFL. I saw Kirk swing a bat at Fresno State, hit home runs on a college, like hitting bombs on a real baseball field. Saw what he did at the softball game. Seen him move around. I've seen him shoot a basketball.
He's Kirk.
He's a great athlete. Kirk is not a great pickleball player. Kirk struggled a little bit on the pickleball court. That was the one that's like, I got that dead. DeMarco was exactly what I thought. Much quicker than you would think. Incredibly competitive.
Yeah.
And he was going for it. Kirk, no.
I don't think we got, and I think this was kind of, I didn't really know what to expect on Saturday, right? You're just kind of pulling up. Same time while we're starting, getting ready to play, SDSU was playing, so 86% of my mind was just like, can I just get a score at least? Which, by the way, we got a cool TV there.
It was great.
The whole backdrop and everything else. But once we got there and kind of the tournament got going, that was great. That was awesome. All the people that came out, all the partners that were there, for you and I, who have never been a part of something like that, most anybody here at the station was not. That was a really good tournament to play. That was a really fun tournament. It was at a great area that we don't typically get a chance to go out to.
How's your body? How is your feeling the next day? Because we played, if you added up all the time we played, probably played for a couple hours.
Yeah.
Probably maybe an hour and a half. Maybe a couple hours might be a little more. But
all right.
It was at least 90 minutes of continuous play.
I'm going to tell you, yesterday was a little sore, and then I stretched.
What?
And then I felt better.
I'm unfamiliar with that, but sure. If you said that helped, I guess that's possible.
Don't do it. I don't recommend you do it.
Don't worry about it. I'm not going to.
I feel okay.
I felt pretty good yesterday. Mm-hmm. Today, my calves feel like somebody hit them with ball peen hammers. Yep. Like they are.
Taylor will stretch you out. Lay down on the table.
Incredibly sore. But I thought the whole thing would be a mess, right? Just because I haven't had like genuine vigorous exercise like that in a while. And I'm not too bad. My back feels good. My shoulders, my chest, my legs, other than my calves, which are killing me. And I'm sure my selection of footwear had nothing to do with that. It was great.
Anytime I get sore, like Saturday, I have a Michelob Ultra. And if I just have one of those,
it's good.
If I just have one of those, I'm fine.
You had a good run there when we were playing, where after, between every point, you'd run back to the fence, take a little sip.
Just
go back to the fence.
Got to hydrate. Got to hydrate. It was sunny. It was
a great day.
To make sure you
hydrate.
It was
a great day, but it was good because, and I like this version of you. Uh-huh. Make no mistakes about what I'm about to say. I really like this version of you. I've only seen it twice.
Okay.
When we went to the Dodger game, Dodger Padre playoff game, where you had a couple of beers that day. And then on Saturday, where you having a few. You get very chatty, which is not your normal deal, which is awesome. You were very funny. You were engaged, still playing a high level of pickleball. It was great. But Chatty Slee is a very popular guy in my world.
Can we get a beer right now?
Somebody get him a 12-pack and put it right there by his desk.
I'm so just cracking. By noon, I'm six deep. What's
my
going on in the
studio?
My favorite
part of the whole day was I got to meet Rookie. Rookie
was there.
Rookie was a cutie out there.
Lady Slee was there.
Yeah.
You need to feed Rookie. He's skinny.
No, don't say that.
Yeah.
No, the guy is...
He's just a baby boy. He has more time to grow.
He's been eating. He's been eating. Yeah, he's put up 10, 15 pounds over the last probably like 4 or 5 months.
He's a good boy.
He's getting in there.
He's a good boy.
Yeah, he's... I thought... He doesn't do the best with a lot of noise. He just doesn't know what the hell's going on. His attention. He doesn't know... Like, most dogs are calm, cool, and collective. This guy was jumping... He actually... Surprisingly, I thought he was great. Had a good time. He was enjoying himself. Gave him a Michelob Ultra as well.
It's good runs in the Sliwa jeans. Everybody has an Ultra and they get a little
awesome.
Hyped up along the way. It was great. If you were out there, you want to call in and talk about your experience, I would love to hear about it. And when it comes to the 710 folks, Al and I are here to take on all comers. If anybody here wants to go play us, I will do that. Other than that, I'm just going to retire until the next Pickleball Madness tournament.
Yeah, by the way, I think we'll get some people that want to play.
There's one person I don't want to play, and I'll tell you who it is a little bit later. I had a weird moment that we'll talk about when we come back. One of the other 710 teams, one of their participants said something to me that they were trying to be nice to me, and I feel worse about myself
that's not
than
good.
I ever had before.
That's
it's
not
just,
good.
It's really kind of sticking
the
with me.
Trying to be nice, but then just demolishing the other person, that's not a good story.
It was tough. Plus, all we need for the Lakers to get into the play-in is 35 a night from Austin Reeves. We're all good. It's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So that's the secret sauce, right? Just get Austin Reeves to score the final 10 points of every game, drop 35, MVP chance along the way. He was terrific last night, but it's a little alarming that they needed Austin Reeves to do what he did last night to beat a Magic team that's outside the Eastern Conference playoff picture.
Which one do you want? You want me to tell it now? There's two things. There was Austin Reeves getting MVP chance at Crypto,
right?
And there was another thing that stood out to me at the game. Do you want it right now or do you want it later?
Give me now.
Okay. There's basically a ninja at crypto.com. Nobody knows where he or she is. Nobody knows where they're sitting. But they're smoking 14 J's, 14 joints during the game.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember this, about a couple months ago, I had mentioned it at some point to you on there. I'm like, somebody's just blazing like no tomorrow.
Right by where you sit, right?
At crypto.com arena. Yeah. Okay. And John and Michael in front of me, Billy Mack and Stu to my right. They're both one row in front of me. And we're all, they're doing the broadcast. They're doing the TV broadcast. And they're just looking around like, what the hell is going on? They brought in, now you got the red coats there, right? The red jackets. They're all kind of like lined up to the left looking. They're trying to like narrow down the section and this. And we think it's in the section in front of us. Nobody can find this guy. Started in the first quarter, all the way through three and a half quarters. The guy was, I don't know what he was doing. whether it's a guy, girl, whatever it is.
A weed ninja.
No one can find this person. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen. Billy Mack will stand up during a timeout and be like, what the hell is going on here? No one can find this guy. He comes probably once every couple of months. He stakes somewhere in that 111 section. He smokes probably three joints during the game, and none of the Red security people can find him.
There, you don't see the smoke? You just smell it?
Yeah. Don't see it. Just a complete ninja. Took over the game yesterday. The whole section was like, I don't know what's going on. So maybe Austin Reaves did not get the secondhand high that everybody else did because he was in the zone yesterday.
It's pretty funny
to watch, man. Security guards all to the left. No one can find him. I think it's over there. I think it was over there. For a full half, everybody's looking for the guy. Couldn't find him. And you smell the smoke.
That's quite a talent. I mean, he should try to go everywhere. He should show up at Laker games, Kings games, Dodger games, you know, Galaxy games, LAFC games.
Like, I had three pretzels yesterday for no reason. I just kept going back.
Bring me another cookie. You should keep going down to the meeting
room. Why does Slater keep going to the concession stands?
Keep coming back with cupfuls of M&Ms. By the way, the Lakers have purple and gold M&Ms is so great. Do they still have those?
They're all colors now.
Oh, yeah. They had like just the yellow
and
purple
ones.
Yeah, there was a ton. Custom made Laker M&Ms, which are terrific.
Got expensive.
Yeah, got expensive.
And they taste so differently when they're purple.
Yeah, but it's just, Emily, me as somebody that likes the details and things, it's a nice touch.
Yeah.
It's a nice little elevated element along the way. Austin Reaves was, I mean, you said something during the break.
MVP.
You're like, he saved the season. Maybe. I mean, we'll see. They're still, you know, right on the cusp. They gotta get out of the play-in before we can talk about that. But he really did save the night last night. Mm-hmm. That without him having a performance, you know, career high, 35 points. He make 8 of 10 free throws in the fourth quarter. He was
how
terrific.
How about he got to the free throw line 18 times? Austin Reaves got to the free throw line 18 times.
How many times? And I really don't know the answer to this. Okay. I don't have the box score. How many times did Anthony Davis get to the free throw line?
Six.
To Austin Reaves is 18?
3 of 6 from the free throw line.
Six. So Anthony Davis got there 1/3 as many times as Austin Reaves did. Okay.
Makes sense.
Just wanna, yeah, it does. You know what? You know what the part that sucks? It does make sense. That's the fact that it does make sense, I think, is part of the larger problem.
I got a question for you as we get into a little bit of the Lakers here. Do you remember a week ago, last Sunday, a week ago yesterday, they lost to the Knicks? And both you and I said, I don't think it's that big of a deal.
I agree, yeah.
Losses come. You kind of like where the team was trending.
Uh-huh.
You kind of like what they were doing. And they had this big matchup coming up against the Pelicans on a Tuesday. So this was last week, right? How come, you help me out here, and maybe it's as simple as, well, Anthony Davis hasn't looked all that good, but the starters have been awful as well. But over the course of 1 week, we went from kind of feeling good the position that the Lakers were in, thinking that number six is definitely in play. A lot of these other teams were losing. And then over the course of four games, they lose to the Knicks, beat the Pelicans, but in the second half,
demolish them.
In the second half, you had to play all your guys through the fourth quarter because the second half, the Pelicans started making a run. AD then doesn't play against Houston. They lose. They lose to the Dallas Mavericks at the end. Anthony Davis is involved in three different plays where you could point the finger at, and I'm not trying to just go at AD, but I'm just talking in general here.
Well, he's the reason they lost. They lost to the Mavericks because of Anthony Davis's mistakes.
And then yesterday, they need to play basically 47 and a half minutes to beat the Orlando Magic until Austin Reaves hits some free throws there at the end. What happened in the last 6 days?
Well, I think what happened is they went from when they made the deal and they got these other players and Anthony Davis's performance were more or less pretty consistently good to being completely unpredictable. For the last week, they've been completely unpredictable. And no one feels good about anything if they don't know what's going to happen next. Even if things are going bad, if you know what's going bad, you can prepare for what's going bad, right? You can try to mitigate whatever it is that isn't working through strategy or rotations or whatever. But that's not what's happening. What's happening with them is you don't know what you're going to get on any given night. That's really hard to prepare for. It's very hard to think that, okay, I know what's going to happen next when you have no idea what's going to happen next. They've been all over the place. 40-point lead against the Pelicans. Now all of a sudden you got to play your guys in the fourth quarter.
Like 11 or 9 or whatever it got down to.
That's not acceptable. They lose to Houston for all the reasons that we've talked about, you know, over and over again. Anthony Davis has a terrible end of game sequence where he's missing free throws. He's not closing out.
Fouling Kleba on a three when you're up four.
Everything that you could have done wrong, he did do wrong to a game where Austin Reeves, who is a nice NBA player, but now you need an all-star caliber performance out of a guy that you're probably not going to get an all-star caliber performance out on a consistent basis. It's really hard to feel good about a team when I have no idea which version of this team I'm going to get from night to night. And they're back to where they were prior to the deadline, which is, I don't know. Are we going to get the good guys? Because when the good guys show up, it's a pretty darn good team. Mm-hmm. When what we saw the last couple of nights, it's buckle up because they could have lost three in a row. They also could have won three in a row or four in a row going back to Houston had they had Anthony Davis against Houston. It's just completely unpredictable on what you're going to get from them night to night.
So this is kind of the mix that they're in. I'm paying less attention to, well, what seed are they? I'm paying less attention to how many games are they back from number six? How many games are they back from number 12? I have a curiosity of, are the Lakers playing good basketball or not?
Not right now.
Right? Like, is the product on the floor, can you look at it and say, man, if that team gets in, they can maybe give a run for their money to Memphis or Sacramento. This last week, a lot of that kind of positivity that you were starting to garner towards the Lakers, a lot of these starters, the starters have actually, every time the bench comes in, it feels like the bench has to get them out of a 7-8 point deficit, something along those lines. I got more, I'm more confident in Austin Reeves and Dennis Schroeder and even Wenyi and Gabriel, like some of these guys that they're going to contribute more than I am to some of those starters.
Schroeder and Reeves have been incredibly important to what they've been doing right now. And look, they're in a weird spot because we're in the point of the season where you have to start looking at not only are you going to get in or out, but who you're going to play, right? Mm-hmm. And right now, if this thing were going to start, they would be in. But this is what you're asking them to do. They'd have to go on the road and win in Minnesota.
Yep. Okay,
doable? Sure. Easy? It's so-so, right? Like, Minnesota's not the most difficult place in the world, but it's kind of in the middle.
And they'll have Anthony Edwards and Karl-Anthony Towns will both be back.
Anthony Edwards twisted his ankle, so you know maybe the Lakers caught a break in there that their best player may be something less than his best. But then even if you win that game on the road, you're going to have to go to either Oklahoma City or Golden State. The loser of that 7-8 matchup is going to get the home game in the next game. You're going to have to win two in a row on the road. Winning in Golden State, at home, they're really, really good. On the road, that's a little different.
29-7 at home.
They always struggle with OKC. That just seems to be one of those teams that is the proverbial bad matchup for them. It does matter where they are. It does matter if they're in 9th or 10th or 8th or 9th or 7th or 8th or 6th or 7th. All of these things matter a great deal, and they've put themselves, other than being out of it altogether, they're in the worst possible place you could ask, which is you got to go on the road and win two in a row. And when you're playing the way they are, wildly inconsistent, to win two games in a row on the road is a really tough putt.
So what would they be if they're wildly inconsistent and you're not really sure what you're going to get night in and night out? Then they would probably split those two games and not be in the playoffs. That's kind of the more times
unless
that,
the bad version of them shows up in game one and then
it's over
and done.
And by the way, that could be it too. Listen, I think there's a, you're looking at the quality of the play. You're looking at, are they playing good enough basketball to just kind of give you, to be a little bit more encouraging? They beat Orlando yesterday, and I had a feeling in postgame, I'm like, well, I'm not supposed to feel like this after a win.
Relieved.
Yeah.
Yeah, relief.
And disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, you know? Sure, but at least it's more like, all right, fine, just we won.
Move on.
Next one. Phoenix on Wednesday. Just move to the next one. Survive in advance.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of a move-on state. Saturday, we're at the pickleball tournament, and this is just, this is every Laker fan felt the same way. 55% of my conversation with people, what the hell happened last night? Like, yeah. I don't know, guys. I don't know. Travis and I have a tournament coming up.
Trying to stay focused.
You think my mental state of mind is on the game against the Mavs?
It's funny. I think you and I are a very good representation of the two different types of Laker fans that are out there, because you're getting the what the hell just happened. I'm getting the same exact question, but it's like, can you believe this guy? Like, you've been saying it. Look at he did it again. He did it again. He did it again. It's the same thing. It's everybody wants the same result, but there's the, hey, what's going on? And the other, like, I know what's going on. It's like two very different camps looking at the same thing, wanting the same result, but saying, no, and I'm not kidding. It had to have been at least 10 people on Saturday. Can AD please stop saying it's his fault? We know it's his fault. Yeah, we had the, oh, yeah, that one's on me. Yes, we know. You do not need to tell us.
Can I tell you something that's funny?
We saw it too.
Can I tell you something funny? There's when somebody says it, which game was it? I think it was the Knicks game. Lakers were playing good basketball over a stretch. And Lakers lost to the Knicks, and AD basically took all the, hey, guys, that's on me. But they have been playing good basketball, so mm-hmm. I don't think it really bothered as many people of, hey, you know what? Here's the leader of your team. He's taking the blame. He's taking this. The problem is if you go a week where you lose three games and AD is saying, hey, that's on me, that's when you're kind of done saying the my bad, it's on me. Nobody really wants to hear that anymore.
All right, there may be a little bit of good news on the horizon. We'll give that to you next. Plus, we got some Laker fans that want to get in on this. 877-710-ESPN. That's 877-710-3776. It's all coming up. It's Travis Lee, 710-ESPN. If you want to get in on that, Ask Slee, the rainy Ask Slee, 877-710-3776. Like Chris said, that's coming up in about 10 minutes from right now. We already got some good ones. One of our Ask Slee regulars, TFP, was out at the pickleball tournament on Saturday. Al, did you get a chance to talk to Francis?
Yeah, I did. I did. He came in with a full Clippers, basically, blazer. I did. I apologized to him about the Mandy's. I felt like we should have gave him more consideration, and we made a mistake there. And that was pretty much our conversation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's good, man.
We
Thank
have
for
a bunch
out,
of the Trav and Slee All Stars that were out there. Got a chance to talk to a whole bunch of those folks. So, thank you to everybody that came out. It was great. I'm looking forward to doing it all over again. I really am. I think that we need to play our 7-10 brethren in a bracket, Slee, because I think we could make some noise. I really do. I was very pleased with the Trav and Slee team, Team Thick Van Exel.
Yeah.
By the time we got in the middle of our second game, I'm like, yeah, I think we've started to figure out who does what well. And basically,
let's
you
train
do
once a week,
80%
you and I.
Of it. I'll do the 20 up front.
Bro, you're a
and
beast
that's more
at the
than
net.
Eh,
nothing
no.
gets past you.
I'm tall, so I have a little bit of a reach, so that's it, but... The opening match was I was trying to cover too much of the court and I ran myself out of gas in like 10 points. I had 10 points worth of hustle and I used them on the first 10 points. It was a huge mistake.
It is, you basically did the equivalent of it's a marathon and you started sprinting right out the gate. They're like you're not even a half a mile in.
But I had the lead. At one point, I did have the lead. I figured, like, look, we got a chance. Let's go to Riverside and Emilio. Emilio, you're on with Trav and Slee. What's up, Emilio?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey,
I'm a bit concerned, guys. I ain't gonna lie. Like before coming into this league, I ain't gonna lie. I was really picturing the way the West was falling, kept giving us chance after chance. The Lakers were gonna go on a run. Run through the Western Conference, right? We're not LeBron James is rested, healthy, ready to go. The role players, right? Then we lose to Houston Rockets. Then what happens on Friday happens. Then yesterday, I'm like, we won. Thanks. I ain't going to complain about a W, but that's about where I stand. Like, I'm concerned. The one thing the one word that I'm thinking of right now, guys, is arrogance. This is last week. Arrogance is killing us. It's like, oh, sure, let's say Anthony Davis on a back-to-back. Let's pencil in the W against the Houston Rockets, the same Houston Rockets that just beat Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Yeah, let's say Anthony Davis because we're just going to just pencil in a W. Okay, all right, sure. We're going to pencil in a W against the Dallas Mavericks. They're just not going to show up, no Luka Doncic shirts. To me, guys, we're coming out slow, no effort, no energy. We can blame Darvin Ham, his rotations, all we want, guys. These players are the ones losing the game. It's more players than it is coaching at this point. That is a concern.
I'm gonna jump in because I think you share similar sentiment to a lot of people. I do think a week ago, the feeling around Lakers basketball was, okay, hey, let's see how this thing ends up. Let's see if they can, maybe that number six seed is not out of the question, which I'm kind of done looking at. You pay attention to the standings and what other teams are doing when you're winning. When you're losing, I care so much less about what other teams are doing because are you basically backdooring to get in, or are you getting in because Lakers are playing good basketball and it doesn't really matter what everybody else is doing? He says something I think was interesting. I do think that the arrogance that he's referring to, I mean, you could be let me kind of give an example. I think the Nuggets have lost 4 or 5 or something along those lines. They have such a lead in the Western Conference. I'm not telling you it's a good strategy, but they have the cushion to be arrogant.
Sure.
You can't, if you're 3 games below .500 or 2 games below .500, there's no point where you could be arrogant. So if there is arrogance to the Lakers, then they're reading everything wrong. And whether that's the case or not, that would be a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah, I don't think it's arrogance so much as it is this sense from the Lakers, and maybe it's well-earned, maybe it's not. I don't know. It's this sense of inevitability. Oh, we're going to be there at the end. But by the time it's all said and done, maybe we have to go through the play-in, but we're going to be in it. And then once we're in it, then let's see what happens. It's this sense of the inevitability of the talent of the Lakers. And by that, I mean LeBron James and Anthony Davis. That the inevitability of that being good enough to get you into one of the top 10 is kind of what they're relying on. And they might be right. It may be just barely good enough, right? That I know LeBron has missed some time. We'll talk about him in a minute. But the fact of the matter is, it's not so much the inevitability of those two guys. It's the inevitability of the entire bottom two-thirds of the Western Conference being bad, right? You look at the Lakers right now, they're in 10th. They have this. They're tied, a statistical tie with the Jazz, who are in 11th. But they're only a game and a half out of the sixth spot. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody from about 5 down to about 12.
Virtually the same record.
Are the same. Mm-hmm. And none of them are good. They're all flawed. All of those teams have some flaws along the way. So I don't think it's arrogance. I think it's they're going to get in because they're just as average as the other teams. And maybe if what Darvin Ham is saying is true, you do have a light at the end of the tunnel. What he said, was it yesterday, Sleep, talking about LeBron, that he expects to have him back at some, or was it Saturday?
Pre-game yesterday.
He said, we anticipate having him come back at some point. Mm-hmm. I think Bron, him being out, has revealed that we have a lot of different weapons that are very capable players on both sides of the ball that can help us achieve the goal that we're trying to achieve. And when he comes back, he's just going to add to it. Good. That's slightly different than what Brian Windhorst said late last week, where it's like he's really not that close to coming back. Got 10 games left. There's not like there's a ton of runway that they have to mess around. They've got three weeks of the season left.
Just so you know, Thursday is when he gets reevaluated.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when we'll get an official update, hopefully. You're right. That's it. There's only 10 games left.
Yeah.
He played 72 games.
This idea that everything is going to be okay, this idea, well, LeBron's going to we don't know for sure that he's going to come back. And if he does come back, this group of players with LeBron James hasn't really played very much basketball. What, one? Maybe two.
Okay, maybe
so
two.
Let's just say it's two. There isn't a ton of time. The Lakers are not playing their best basketball right now.
Yeah.
So we'll see. The time is thin. It is short. You have 10 games left. Your best player may or may not be coming back. Your second player is in one of his low periods, right?
Yep.
And
yep.
We know Anthony Davis, he has high periods where it's like, all right, let's go.
Sure.
And then you have the low periods, which is where we are right now, which is poor free throw shooting, bad decision making, skipping games. We're in one of those right now. Ups and downs. We're in a down. And you're in a dogfight to be one of the top 10 teams, and there is no guarantee you will be. The good news is everyone else is just in the same boat that you are.
I think that's where you stack everything up together. So in order for the Lakers to get in these final 10 games, they're going to have to play good basketball. They're going to need some teams to play bad basketball, which they could probably rely on because that's kind of how the West has been. You're going to need LeBron James, who has not played since that game against Dallas 3+ weeks ago, to be reevaluated on Thursday and hopefully return before the season ends. You need Anthony Davis, who's been inconsistent, be Anthony Davis and get on the right high. You need a lot of these players that were initially traded to the Lakers and came out at the gate looking great, now completely back down to earth. D'Angelo Russell's been average at best these last few games.
That's the whole thing, though, right, Al? Because D'Angelo Russell is a good, but he's not a megastar. He's a guy that can have good games. He's a guy that can have average games. This is what makes him. That's why LeBron and Giannis and those. There's not a lot of those guys, and you don't get guys like that at the deadline very often. You got role players. D'Angelo's probably better than a role player.
He's better
player,
than a role player, and but he's not, also definitely not a, star. Not a superstar. Yeah.
So
yeah.
whatever that thing in between mm-hmm. those two tiers is, that's what he is. And you're going to get inconsistent performances. And that's why Anthony Davis is so important, because theoretically, at least, he is a star.
He can't be the inconsistent
one. And he's the one performing most inconsistently.
Yeah, he can't be the inconsistent one. And that's why, you know, the feeling we have today, let's just use as an example. Yesterday, the Lakers played Orlando. At one point, I think they took a 16-point lead. Let's say the Lakers just kind of walked away with the win yesterday, and they won comfortably. It was double digits. It's not just winning. It's how you win, too, mm-hmm. right? And I think that's the part that we're paying attention to. If they had won yesterday by double digits, and you look back and say, gosh, they just really let that one get away with Dallas. Maybe they underestimated him because Luka. Kyrie had 38 that game. By the way, it's a separate conversation, the Kyrie stuff. We get into it a little bit later. But there's... You could have just kind of put that to the side. The problem is they're all connected. Every one of these games the last week, it's not that one is disconnected from the other. The Knicks game, you lost. The Pelicans game, you went up 40, and then at one point are only up 11. Guys yeah. got to play through the fourth. The Rockets, you lost to a 16-win team. The Mavs, you lost to against Luka. Orlando, the score was, what, 103-103 with a minute to go or something along those lines. It's connected.
Going back to last week, I remember you saying, well, they'll win the two games this weekend. I looked at you, I said, I don't know, man. I don't know with these guys, right? It's like the you were saying about the Houston. I'm like, oh, they'll win Houston. You're like, Trav, I'm telling you, this one doesn't feel good. You could kind of see it coming down the tracks. And this is the thing with the Lake. Nobody knows anything. Mm-hmm. No, they don't know. They don't know which version of themselves are going to show up on any given night. And that's why 10 games to go, they're yeah. still they can only lose four more games the rest of the way and be a 500 team. They got 10 to go. They have to go. If they go 6-4, they're 500 on the nose. They got to go 7-3 to be over 500. That's for this squad. 7-3 is a big ask.
If the whole section 111 was drug tested from yesterday, all of us would have weed in our system right now. The guy's a ninja. Couldn't find him.
Ask Slee coming up next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN. First one comes from Travis at LA Live.
Okay.
Hashtag Ask Slee. How much longer are my legs going to feel like they got hit with baseball bats after the pickleball tournament?
Well, your philosophy of when's the last time you stretched? You're 14?
I don't think I even did it then.
Not even then. So I think right now you need two more days. By Wednesday,
that sounds about right,
actually. You'll be good.
It's all calves, Slee. I don't know. Like I had shorts on, obviously, at the event. I don't wear shorts to work, so you haven't seen me in shorts a million times along the way.
Yeah.
I've got pretty big calves.
Yeah. Like great calves. A lot of people were talking about it. A lot of
but
people.
But there's a lot of stuff going on in there right now. It feels like I got like knots in there that need to be not stretched out, but like Theragunned out. Maybe Carlo has the Theragun.
Taylor, you run most mornings,
maybe
right?
Would work.
Nah. Taylor, you run most mornings,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I do. I stretch.
Is there a calf type of stretch that you want to give?
I've tried those. Trav? I have calf stretch, but they're not really working out that great. I feel like I'm going to snap a piano
go up against
wire.
The wall, Travis.
That's exactly what I did.
Easy. Okay.
It's exactly what I did. But it's not
branching
working.
Out, Trav.
It's not working. Alex in Torrance is batting leadoff here. Alex, hashtag Ask Slee. What do you got, Alex?
All right, guys. Happy Monday. I got a two-part question for you guys. All right, I was able to meet a NBA player yesterday, very nice guy. I'm going to give you his accolades. Number one, I want to see if Slee, you can guess who it is.
Okay.
Number two, I want to see if he's a Hall of Famer in your eyes. He was drafted 2009, six-time NBA All-Star, three-time All-NBA second team, two-time All-NBA third team, NBA Rookie of the Year 2011. He won the Slam Dunk Contest in 2011 as well. And then NBA All-Rookie, first NBA team, 2011.
Any idea, Al?
No, I'm trying to. Okay, 2011 wins. You said Rookie of the Year?
I think so.
Drafted 2009.
It's going to be easier than you think. You're thinking too hard.
Oh.
Oh, you know, I was going to guess that, but I thought he was older than that.
Yeah, and drafted to that. Okay, so Blake Griffin?
Yeah.
Okay. Blake Griffin?
Correct.
Okay. And is he a Hall of Famer? Okay. I appreciate you calling in. So I am not the person, and I don't know what the criteria is for being a Hall of Famer. Okay, I don't. Michael and I will sit here and talk about it, and he'll say all day long why Michael Cooper
should
be in there.
Can I change the question slightly?
Why Robert Horry should be in there, some of these other players. I'm not the best person to ask about this, but I will give you my first initial gut reaction. No,
okay.
He's not a Hall of Famer.
I agree with the gut reaction. And I think that especially when it comes to the Basketball Hall of Fame, I don't think you're alone in not understanding the criteria. It's weird, right? That it seems like a lot.
Most of these leagues, it's all weird.
You're not wrong about that either. But basketball in particular seems to have a lower threshold for enshrinement than some of the others.
Okay.
I think the question isn't, is he a Hall of Famer? Is he one of the best players you've ever seen? That's kind of the answer to this, right? Like, is he one of the great players of his generation? Were you excited to go to the gym specifically just to see that guy? Or was it more like, oh yeah, he's really good too? There's a difference between those two things.
So I think he's, the word excited, I think he definitely was one of the more exciting players in the NBA. But that doesn't make him one of the best.
Yeah.
I remember, it's kind of funny. He got traded from the Clippers to the Pistons. Did you ever hear anything after that?
Pretty much the end of the line.
That was it. That's kind of his career. And it doesn't mean you can't be exciting. It just doesn't mean that you're one of the best.
David SFV writes, would you rather live without the internet or live without air conditioning and heating?
All right, no AC, no heating, or without it. Yeah, definitely no AC, no heating.
No question.
Yeah, I'll take the internet all day long.
All
right, give me the internet.
You want the internet. Yeah, for me, I go the other way easily.
Open the window, get a fan, clothes, blankets, all that stuff. I can make do, especially here.
Yeah.
Like, we don't live in Chicago where I actually really need it.
And Trav, all your texts would be green bubbles regardless because you have no iMessage.
I'm going back even pre that, M. Like, I was reading something the other day. My generation, I'm a Gen Xer, right? My generation is the last one to really know life without the internet, right? We're the last ones to have grown up and lived even a portion of my adult life with no internet. Guys, it was fine. It was totally fine. We were able to keep in touch with people. There were things to do. It was a very, very manageable way of life.
That's when everybody doesn't have it. But when you're the only one that doesn't have it,
that's what I was
going to
say. Let's put it this way. Let's say
I'm fine.
Let's say this for your job. Okay. Yeah. All right. The research you're doing and everything else, you're obviously relying on it. You're paying your bills. You're relying on it. Like, there's other
I know how to write a check. I could make do.
I know, but like there's the walks. If you're
the LA Times delivered.
Yep. If the AC and the heater are more important than really the way you run your entire life, I don't value the AC and the heater that much.
Check in with me in September when it's 110 for the last 40 days.
Throw a fan on. Lose a little sleep. Sleep outside.
I'm out. Of all the things I miss from like the analog age, more than anything else, is that morning newspaper was such a great part of the day. You'd get through, you'd flip through it, you'd read, and all you'd get the stories, you'd collect some information, and you had a good solid 45 minutes to take all this stuff in as opposed to tick, 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 up there it is. It was a very different way. I miss it.
It's a good question by David there. It is a good one.
What happens to Trav's pickleball paddle now that the tournament is over? Does he put it with the Christmas decorations, puts it in between one of the many sombreros, or does it get lost with Bobby's shoes?
It's in a case. When you walk by the Travis, right when you walk in, there's certain things. There's like a photo of you and the family, and then next to it is the pickleball paddle. It's in a case there. So when we were done playing, we ate a couple hot dogs. Yep. We were doing our thing. So I gave my girl the paddle, and I'm like, hey, can you hold on to this? I come back, rookie.
Chewing on it?
Demolish the paddle.
It's ruined?
Yes.
Oh, no.
She's like, well, I didn't know that was going to happen. What do you mean you didn't know that?
He was doing it at the tournament, yeah.
Has he ever put anything in his mouth that he didn't demolish? Come on now. The paddle's gone.
My dog back at home.
I got to go to Target and buy two more paddles.
Actually, she always got into our DVDs. So for a long time, like we'd have like our DVDs on display or whatever, and our dog, Penny, would go in, chew on the outside, open in the DVDs, then chew on the actual DVDs. It was terrible.
Yeah, Rookie is more, he'll take a shoe and he thinks it's a game because we have to chase him to get it. And he's like, this is awesome. Yeah. Rookie, what are you doing?
For the record, Bobby doesn't lose his shoes. He just chooses not to bring them with him. He knows where they are at all times. It's not like he can't find them and he goes without. Good. It's he chooses not to bring them. There's a huge difference between those two things. Capitano Matt. What kind of tournament should ESPN LA host next? Billiards, shuffleboard, or Twister? # Ask Slee.
Do I only got to pick through those three?
Dealer's choice, too.
All right. So if it doesn't have to be... Look, basketball is the main one, but we've done it, and I think that's always one. It's not really unique. There's nothing unique about it. So, but basketball is by far, you get the most people involved. You have 10 people on the floor. You get a couple more people.
Can we be honest for a second?
We're not good. Nobody's good.
The amount of basketball players here that could put on something that people would want to look at for even 2 seconds is about 3 people long.
All right, then help me out with what's the right sport. You need softball was a good bad. That was a good one.
Everybody can play. You can't do like an individual. Pickleball is a really good one because even if you stink, you can play.
Mm-hmm.
Pool's not bad.
Bowling, maybe?
Bowling. That's the answer. Bowling. Everybody can bowl.
You can.
And if you're really bad, we put the little rails up and everybody wins. Yep. You're in the rail division.
Yeah.
The bumper one.
Yeah.
All right, so this is from Emily in LA Live, and I have a question. So should I prepare for April 3rd for you to ask off so you can go to see San Diego State play in the Final Four if they get there? Will you fly to Houston, or will you just,
talking like Final Four.
Yeah. Would you take off and stay
next,
here?
They have Alabama next, right?
Alabama next.
Yeah, would you take off and stay here, or would you actually want to travel to go to Houston if they made the Final Four?
It's a really good question. So let me put it this way. I've gone to 2 Sweet 16s, and the only 2 Sweet 16s San Diego State have been in, both landed in Anaheim. So we got lucky, right? They lost both of those. So now in my head, I'm like, well, I'm not going to.
You're the cooler.
I'm out, right? I'm out. And every other Aztec fan that was there. If they get past Alabama, who's the number one overall seed in the tournament.
Last one standing, right, Em? The other three are out?
Houston's still in, I think.
Is Houston still in?
Yeah.
I wouldn't know.
Well,
I might be wrong.
No, I think you're right. But if San Diego State was out too, I'm with you. Like, I don't know anything about any of these other schools.
You gotta go.
If they get out of this, if they just pass Alabama, I mean, all hands on deck. It doesn't matter where it is. They could change the location to.
You'd go to the Elite Eight game?
Elite Eight would be on, so they go Friday.
Sunday.
No, I can't because the Lakers have a game against the freaking Chicago Bulls. I would try to do everything I possibly can to try to go to any one of these games. But that's going
to
be
gotta
in Louisville.
You've got to go to the Final Four. Even if it's like a date. Fly in, fly out.
Final Four is an easy one to say yes to. But I'm just saying, if you get past the number one overall seed, I think it's you try to do everything you can to be a part of it.
I'm not trying to throw cold water on it because it would be – but it. The Elite Eight is like, it's cool, but it's not the Sweet 16 is a destination.
The Final Four is a destination.
It's a whole weekend.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. That eight is, if you're going to go to the eight, you might as well go to the 16, right?
Yeah. I also really regret not going to the Final Four when UVA made it. Like, it would have been really awesome.
Especially, I'm going to make one more pitch for you.
I would go. You need to go
because the odds of them going back are not great.
Yeah.
Right? This is a once in a lifetime opportunity, potentially. You got to jump on it. UVA goes. Like, they will be back in the Final Four in your lifetime almost assuredly.
Hopefully.
Yeah. San Diego State, maybe not.
It'll be April 1st. Be a Saturday.
I will go to the Gauchos if they get to the round of 32. I will show up in the second round no matter what. World Baseball Classic, better than I ever could have imagined. And we've got an unbelievable game tonight and then another one tomorrow. That's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.